Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Sports in the Mitten, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. You can find Sports in the Mitten on Facebook by searching Sports in the Mitten. And don't forget to please like, subscribe, and share my YouTube channel. And Michigan beats Rutgers 35-14. I predicted 42-13. I thought this was a game where if Michigan was going to show any type of extra gear, that's the phrase I've been using, I guess, on offense, that this would be the game. And in a lot of ways that it was. I mean, not necessarily the passing game, but Michigan did set season highs in a few offensive categories, including the most rushes, 51, most rushing yards, 334, and four rushing touchdowns. So while Brandon Peters did look good, I'm not taking anything away from Brandon Peters. It was Rutgers, it was at home, it was homecoming, and Michigan rushed very well tonight. And especially, I mean, Kron Higdon, 18 for 158 and two touchdowns, a 49-yard touchdown. He's got a 36, a 49, and a 59-yarder this year. He averaged 8.8 per carry. Ty Isaac, 14 carries for 109 yards, no touchdowns, along at 21, and he averaged 7.8 tonight. So don't forget, I mean, yes, Brandon Peters did look great, 10 of 14 for 124 and a touchdown. But, you know, give some credit to the offensive line and give some credit to the running backs as well. So I'm going to tweet the live link real quick, and I'm going to get to – I see all your guys' comments. I'll get to those. Sorry for the silence here, guys. I'm one of those people who can't walk and chew bubble gum at the same time, so I do apologize. All right, so I'm tweeting this out, and let's get into these comments, because I know you guys want to talk about Brandon Peters. I know you guys do. So, starting from the top, Jeremy Turner, Adam, what's good? What's up, Jeremy? Aaron Wise, what's up, Adam? Hey, Aaron, Chris Hawk says Biggers. Hey, Chris, Matt the Destroyer 2, I told you, Adam, I told you Peters was it. All right, Matt the Destroyer 2, we'll get into it. Rock City says, what's good, Adam? Hey, Rock City. Just another night in paradise, man. You know how it goes. Matt the Destroyer says, woo, I'm assuming that's Ric Flair-inspired nature boy. Matt the Destroyer, too, is geeked tonight about Brandon Peters. I know a lot of people are. Aaron Wise says, I only watched the first quarter so far. It looks ugly. It gets better, Aaron. It does. Didn't you have to work or something? So now you're watching it. So Justin Green says, Brandon Peters, in all caps. I like this. Ethan, Leyenas. Did I say that right? Or is it Leyenas? Leyenas. Should Higdon and Isaac keep rotating? Higdon and Isaac are the hot hands, man. They're getting... I mean, remember, just a couple weeks ago, nobody wanted Isaac to touch the ball, and it's been flip-floppy, fluctuating with opinions on running backs, and I mean, I feel like Kron Higdon's the one guy where a lot of people remain steady. But, I mean, Chris Evans had a good game, too, you know? I mean, yeah, it wasn't necessarily out of the backfield. He only had 5 carries for 29 yards, 5.8. But that 20-yard touchdown, and he shows a little bit of versatility, what he can do. So Matt the Destroyer says he's still angry about the Penn State game, though. Cordell Cummins, what's up? Hey, Boogie. Hey, Cordell. I've never been called that before, but I'll go with it. Demario Vaughn. Demario, what's up? Who would have thought Kron would be our best running back? I think Kron showed flashes last year, didn't he? Yeah, the pinball kind of thing, and John O'Korn said he's got a burst like he hasn't seen. I don't think that John O'Korn was just, you know, fluffing Kron for the sake of fluffing him. I think that's true, and Kron's, like I just said, he's had a 36, a 49, and a 59-yard touchdown run. I mean, that's a guy with a fluky, you know, who, okay, maybe he gets a big hole and benefits from some big blocks and things like that, and Kron's getting those, but that's not fluky. When you have three touchdown runs and only 8 games into the season, when you have 3 touchdown runs like that, that is a clear indicator of, okay, this guy's a real deal. Kron Higdon's a real deal. I think we all know that. Shane Majewski, hey Shane, what's up, Biggs? Just so people know, O'Korn looked good against Purdue as well. Only difference is Peters was doing this within the offense, not improvising. Shane, that's a great point. I'll get to that too. Guys, I imagine we're going to sit here and talk about Brandon Peters. So let me get through these comments because I know that's the topic you guys want to talk about. Kareem effort looked promising. Aaron Wise says, me and Demario, I think he and Walker run the hardest. Aaron, yeah, I think Aaron's been a big proponent of Kron for at least as long as He's been commenting on this. Jeremy Turner says, let's take it easy on Peters. O'Korn also looked good against Purdue. Peters did look good as hell. Has a great ball. Great point. Let's just get into that, guys. Hold on, a couple more. Cordell Cummings says, I like when Karan speaks. He is a great teammate. He always says encouraging words. Yeah, Karan knows. Karan's got that demeanor about him. Carlos Gilliam, hey, Adam, nice to see you. Brandon Peters, he did look good, but also glad to see Nico Collins. It was his first game. Hopefully he progresses. Justin Green says, Adam Walker has something. Yeah, Walker does. He does. Preston Prosper, Peters era starts. Aaron Quinney says, even though it was Rutgers, he still did what O'Korn couldn't do, which was handle the snaps and make easy passes. All right, guys. DeMario wants to know what's wrong with Kakoa. I do not know. And I think Grant Perry's probably dinged up, too. So let's get into this, Brandon. Let's switch gears to Brandon Peters. And I want to put this into context, though. And, yeah, John O'Korn struggled. So let's look at the line of succession here. Okay, it took Wilton Spate to basically break his neck, right? 3 cracked vertebrae. John O'Korn, it took a month of John O'Korn struggles, plus 3 of 6 for 13 yards and an interception and 2 fumbles against Rutgers. Now, I know that Harbaugh said that they had thought about it, about putting Brandon in late against Penn State just to give him a feel. But O'Korn still started this game, and, you know, he fell on his face. So they had to go with Brandon Peters. With that said, I do think that that still shows how much of a gap in talent. And I think that the Michigan coaching staff, and this is just my speculation, thought, okay, John, if there's a shred, if John O'Korn really does have it, if there's a shred, then he's got to show it against Rutgers. And he just didn't. So I have no problem with Brandon Peters getting the call right now. Obviously, it worked out in their favor. I thought Brandon was going to play in this game either way. But let's not forget that there were some gaps. And when we're looking at the beginning of the season, it was never Brandon and Wilton. It was always John and Wilton. And then obviously there was a pretty big gap between John and Wilton. So again, Wilton Spate struggled, but they didn't take him out. I mean, yeah, Florida, real quick for a breather, but I mean, he didn't lose his job due to poor performance. He lost his job due to injury. So, and then Michigan, you know, let John O'Korn go as long as it possibly could. And this was a 0-0 game. And they figured, okay, I'm speculating here. They had to have been thinking, okay, we're not losing at home to Rutgers. Somebody's got to be able to move this offense. And John's not doing it. I mean, right now, Brandon Peters and Brandon did very well for what they asked him to do. I thought Brandon had a nice touch on the ball. I was asked on Twitter. Some of them looked kind of lofty. Was it windy? It wasn't really too windy. I don't think the wind really played a big role in this. I think Brandon does throw a nice ball, and I've said that all along. And I don't know. I've supported the idea of John O'Korn being the quarterback because he gave them the best chance to win. And I do believe while he was the starter. Now, Jim Harbaugh didn't come out and say 100%. He did mention Brandon thinking along the lines, knowing now that he's the starter. But he didn't come out and just say 100%, okay, now Brandon Peters. I think it's safe to assume that the Brandon Peters era has begun. I wrote about this. It's one of my final columns for FanRag Sports. So check that out on my Twitter, at AdamBiggers81. And I'll get into some more of these comments. But again, Brandon looked great tonight. I do agree with you guys who are saying, okay, let's slow it down for a second. Because remember, and I even said this against Purdue, John O'Korn gave them spark on offense. And that's what they needed on offense. I did not anticipate John to struggle the way that he has. I really don't get it. I don't. And I know it's easy to say, well, how was this guy the backup all along over Brandon Peters? Well, you know, a lot of it had to do with being vocal. Jim Harbaugh did mention to me on a conference call a couple weeks ago that there were different levels in quarterback play. Brandon has obviously upped his game, and there was a window of opportunity, and he took advantage of it. So that's basically the way that it is. I mean, I know a lot of people out there want to believe now, you know, that they were clairvoyant and saying, well, Brandon Peters is the best quarterback they have. I don't agree with that. I think Wilton Spate still is the best quarterback that they have if he's healthy, and I think that Wilton would still be the starter if he was healthy. But he's not, and we can, hindsight's 2020, yada yada yada. You know, we could go through all that whole conversation, or we could focus on what's right now. And what's right now is, yeah, Brandon Peters does look like he gives Michigan the best shot to win between he and John O'Korn. I don't think there's any arguing that, because the numbers don't lie. And Brandon, and again, I know it was against Rutgers, it was against the worst defense, but I mean, John O'Korn was only 3 of 6 for 13 yards and couldn't hold it together. Brandon Peters came in there and, I mean, fill in the blank. Use whatever word you want to do. I mean, I'm not saying a star is born. I'm not ready to, cue the Brandon Peters era right now, but it is looking that way. Brandon Peters did, I think, what he's supposed to do if he wants to show, like, hey, give me a shot. Give me a legitimate shot at being a starting quarterback, and he did that tonight. Spring game was not it. This was it. Matt the Destroyer 2 says, I believe Michigan could beat Wisconsin this year. I actually just had a good conversation with a really good friend of mine, Cody Peischer, about this, and he and I both agree Michigan-Wisconsin match up well. Wisconsin's going to try to run it at them, and, I mean, this rush defense is going to dare you to try to stop it. I mean, other than that play to Janarian Grant, Michigan, I think, was pretty decent against rush. Only allowed 94 rushing yards all day. Janarian Grant had 71 of them on five carries, 65 on one. So you take away Janarian Grant's 65-yard rush, and we're looking at a 29-yard rushing game. Not bad. So if Wisconsin wants to, I mean, not bad, that's an understatement, that's really good. I don't care if it is against Rutgers. So if in matchup, if Wisconsin wants to try to run the ball at Michigan, I bet Michigan would probably welcome that, because Michigan's been great against the rush all year. It's been a couple slips here and there. You know, Saquon had a big run, Mondre London had a big run, had the one now of Janarian Grant and Morgan Ellison from Indiana, and that's only four big runs all year. And one of them was by a Heisman candidate. The other is won by one of the best overall athletes. Janarian Grant's a really good return guy. So it's not like they've just been gouged by some scrubs. Morgan Ellison's pretty decent. I mean, they've given up the big plays to good running backs. I mean, Mondre London to me would be the biggest surprise out of all those guys, because Mondre London's not really known for those type of big plays. But, I mean, Saquon, I could see that. Janarian, I could see that. Morgan Ellison, I could see. He looked like, hold on, I'm DeMario Vaughn, what's wrong with Kakoa? I don't know. That's all I could tell you right now. I don't know. Aaron Quinney says, even though it was Rutgers, he still did what O'Korn couldn't do. Okay, I'm reading old ones now. Let me get in. DeMario Vaughn says, kind of feel bad for John O'Korn. You got so much hate. DeMario, I tweeted that earlier. I think it's kind of shameful how a lot of Michigan fans just crapped all over him. And I got, some replies and saying, well, what, we want to win, blah, blah, blah. And I get it. And someone asked me, if your favorite team, you never said anything. I've never tweeted anything derogatory like that at a player because I was mad about their performance. I'm not that type of guy. And I mean, have I been mad? Like if my favorite team loses, I was upset in 2006 when the Tigers lost World Series to the Cardinals. I was upset when the Penguins came in here and won the Stanley Cup game 7, in 2000 and what, that was 2009 because the Wings won in 2008. So yeah, I mean, I get upset. I'm not saying that I'm not a fan too, but I'm just saying, There are levels to this stuff. And if you're tweeting all this hateful mess at John O'Korn and talking all this crap about Michigan football, I mean, a lot of people declare the season dead at 5-2. They're 6-2 now. Probably not going to beat Ohio State. Well, they're not going to beat Ohio State. Maybe has a shot at hanging around with Wisconsin, but a 9-win regular season, 10-win regular season, or 10-win season with a bowl game, 9-win season with a bowl game. I mean, there's still a shot at a 9 or 10-win season. I don't look at it as a wash. Michigan's the youngest team in college football. And that's not making excuses for these guys. Look, I know that there were expectations. I had higher expectations just based on what I had seen these past 2 years. And to me, this year is more like what I expected Harbaugh's first year to be like, if that makes sense. He's having year one and year three, I think. That's the feel to me. Justin Green says, Justin controlling the offense. He has always had the ball. Matt the Destroyer 2 had Damari Vaughn. He played bad. People don't get participation awards. Okay, I'm missing some of this conversation here. Chris Hawk says, Harbaugh was just stubborn. He wasn't going to bow outside pressure to determine who he's going to play. That's the bottom line. Well, Chris, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think Jim Harbaugh would let his stubbornness get in the way from playing the best quarterback. I mean, he recruited Brandon Peters. That was his guy, right? I mean, that Brandon Peters is Jim Harbaugh's bell cow, for all intents and purposes. I think that, you know, going with Wilton Spate, maybe he swallowed a little bit of his pride there, because Wilton wasn't the popular pick. Wilton's never been the popular pick, but he's been the guy who's been the most consistent and able to move the ball. So I don't think that Harbaugh was stubborn with Brandon Peters. I think that he gave John O'Korn enough of a chance. And was it being stubborn? Because even Harbaugh's mentioned this before. Is it stubborn? I don't know if it's stubborn. I think that he gave O'Korn enough of a chance, and enough was enough today. I mean, 3-6 for 13 yards and 2 fumbles. And what? That's like in the first quarter. And you're just not getting it. You're just not getting it done. I don't think he had any other choice. I don't necessarily think it's stubborn. I don't think Jim Harbaugh's been, you know, sitting here for the past 4 weeks after Wilton Spate went out, 5 weeks, what, 4 or 5 weeks now, four, let me learn how to count, and saying, you know what, Brandon Peters is better than John O'Korn, but I'm going to play John O'Korn just for the hell of it. I don't believe that. I think it, and let's play this scenario out. What if John O'Korn did have a good game against Rutgers, and then Brandon got in there a little bit? But I think right now it is clear, at least to me, I mean, if I had to pick a quarterback just based on the eye test, and I've seen both guys play against the same team, I mean, Brandon Peters is the guy for me. Eric313 says, I want to see I'm losing these comments, guys. I'm sorry. Rock City says, I think the love for Peters was surrounded by his youth and possibilities for growth. I hope he lives up to the hype. Marcel Wood says, great quarterbacks throw wide receivers open. Jeremy Turner, thoughts on Penn State looking to OSU and Michigan State? I'm not surprised that Penn State lost to Ohio State, Michigan State. I mean, Brian Lewerke set a school record with like 475 passing yards. I mean, it is Northwestern. Michigan State and Northwestern have had some really, a 39-31 double overtime. What was it? Double, triple overtime? Not a surprise. I mean, Michigan State and Northwestern have played a lot of games like that. So I don't think it's a horrible loss for Michigan State. Michigan State still has exceeded. You know, I thought Michigan State would be lucky to be a 5 or 6 win. I thought bowl eligibility was the big deal for them. And I don't think they're a true contender in the Big Ten East. But at the same time, 6-2. If you would have told me Michigan State was 6-2 after 8 games, I would have been like, yeah, sure. 2-6. I'd almost probably believe 2-6 before. I really didn't expect Michigan State to. And it's not knocking out, you know, knocking what Mark D'Antonio. I think Mark D'Antonio has earned the respect and the benefit of the doubt. Look what he's done at Michigan State. But I don't know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, lose 4 or 10 best freshmen of that 16 class, including Donnie Corley, who I thought was going to be a superstar at Michigan State. How do you rebound from 3-9? I just didn't think that they could just. I mean, it's like a 180. It really is. I mean, they have double the wins that they had last year. Matt Crittenden says, is it just me or does the defense have a hard time tackling bigger backs? Gus Edwards seemed to break a lot of tackles. Jonathan Taylor scares me. I think the defense, Matt, is worn down a little bit, man. Honestly, I really do. I think Penn State wore them down a little bit. And, I mean, the defense, Devin Bush said no. And I know all the guys would probably say no. But I think of it in realistic terms. I think Penn State wore them down a little bit. Because even today, I mean, 13 yards, or 13, give up 13 points to Rutgers at 65-yard, or, yeah, 65-yard run to Jenerian Grant. I mean, that's a play that probably shouldn't have happened. And again, you take that away and it's 29 rushing yards. So I think that even reinforces my point even more. And then we look, there are only three backs have done something, big runs against Michigan. I think the defense is just worn down a little bit. I really do. And with next weekend being a night game, they get those extra few hours rest now. So Eric313 said he's played three quarters of football against Rutgers. Matt the Destroyer says Peters is bae. All right, Colin Bell. Can we please address this crappy offensive play calling? Even in our win, it was still so predictable. I literally called 20 plays in a row before that snap during the MSU game. And Colin, this goes, I think that they kept the offense relatively simple for Brandon. I think where Brandon's got an advantage over John is Brandon can throw downfield a little bit. Brandon's got the better arm. But he can't scramble and improvise like John can. And that's what I really liked about what John did at Purdue. And that's what I really thought was going to be a spark for the offense. Cordell Cummings says, Peters isn't great yet. It was only one game, but he looked like he can do what Harbaugh wants, make the simple throws and avoid turnovers. Exactly, guys. I think it's cautious optimism. I mean, one game does not make or break a guy. And certainly, I mean, we've seen Brandon, what he had, like, he played like a couple snaps earlier in the season. But for the sake of just being lazy, or I don't know. I'm getting tired, guys. It's almost 10 o'clock. It's been a long day. For the sake of just saying it was a debut, we'll just call it a debut. This is the most of one time, the first time that we've seen Brandon. And yeah, he did look good. But again, this was against the worst defense in the Big Ten. And I want to see how he reacts. I'm not saying that I want to see Brandon Peters get hit hard or hurt or anything, but I want to see how he reacts when he gets rocked. I think a true measure of a quarterback is how you deal with pressure, how you get up when you're knocked around a little bit, and that's what I liked about Wilton Spate last year. I thought Wilton Spate, I mean, if you guys remember, UCF got after him a little bit. Wilton took some hits. I think that's a good measure of a quarterback. We did not see that today with Brandon Peters. I think the offensive line did a pretty good job of protecting. He had his running backs, Ty Isaac and Karan, just give the ball to them, let them do the work. He was able to take a couple shots downfield, but for the most part, I think it was kind of designed around, I'm not saying quick, but more designed around don't, minimize the chances of Brandon getting hit, basically. And then, of course, they never want their quarterback to get hit, but if you guys follow me. So this was a good game to do that. And Harbaugh said Monday that he told the team and John O'Korn, and this was after our Monday press conference. So going into the meetings and stuff after that, into the afternoon and into the evening, at some point he told the team that Brandon was going to play, and John was aware of that too. So DeMario Vaughn says it'll be funny to see how everyone reacts when Peter struggles for the first time. And that's, hey, it's like everybody. Twitter lit up. Brian Lewerke all of a sudden sucks, and I can't buy into that either. DeMario, you know how things go. Again, just turn back a couple weeks of what people were saying about Ty Isaac. A couple weeks, Chris Evans. There's this guy. I wrote an article on Chris Evans and how he's got. I mean, Chris ran for 600 yards as a true freshman, averaged like 7 yards per carry. Chris Evans has the potential to be a really good running back, a star running back for Michigan. I never said a Big Ten star, national star, but a team star. And last week, I forgot what Chris had. And, you always have that one person on Twitter's, and this person's hobby is to tweet me after Chris Evans had a bad game. Well, they didn't tweet me today. So that just goes to show you. One week a guy completely sucks, the next week he's the future. Aaron Wise says, Hoke recruited pretty well, though. That's why Harbaugh did well his first years. He coached them, something Hoke didn't do. In time, these young kids will get a go. And I agree with that, too, Aaron. And I think you're responding to my comment about how this year, kind of some of the problems and everything were what I expected to see in Harbaugh's first year. But we didn't really see that. I mean, he had a pretty decent offensive line. That wasn't an issue. He already had really good defense, you know. And again, he had experienced guys. You make a great point. All those guys that Brady recruited were Harbaugh's two best, were for 2 years, were his best players. Were all Brady Hoke guys. And that's by, you know, because they were upperclassmen and already starters. But yeah, he coached those guys up. And I've made this point all season long, guys. And going into this game, 15 offensive touchdowns. They got it going a little bit tonight, or this afternoon. But show me another team that would be 5-2. So I'll say this again. Show me another team that would be 6-2 with some of these offensive numbers. Other than the rushing, you know, today against Rutgers, we're all season highs. But, I mean, if you go back and look at Michigan's stats, sitting at 5-2, at least for me, looking at the offensive numbers, they had similar numbers to Rutgers, very similar. We talked about this the other day. So, to me, it's like a head-scratcher. If you don't know those are Michigan's numbers, you don't see a stat that jumps out like, okay, you see row A, row B, oh, 15 off, 11 rushing, 4 passing. That's Michigan because you know it. If you didn't know that, you would look at those stats and go, how in the hell has this team won 5 games? Colin Bell says, thank God someone else could see how easy this is to play against. Chris Hawk says, I still think Harbaugh has a stubborn streak. Well, I think he does too. Jim Harbaugh is, yeah, I could see that. It's a good stubborn, though. Preston Prosper says, what's your thoughts on the struggles of Metellus and Hudson? I think, again, Preston, I think some of these guys are just getting worn out a little bit. I mean, it's been a long season. Only 8, you know, it's still 3/4 of the way through. But especially for the defense. I mean, if I look, part of me believes, like, these guys have put in, like, you know, the effort that you would in 2 years in 1 year. And not saying, you know, that they don't put in, but you know what I mean? I feel like they've just had to double down this year because the offense just isn't there. Last year, pretty easy and probably pretty fun to be a really good number one ranked total defense in the country when you have an offense that's scoring 40 points per game. I bet that was a hell of a lot of fun. And remember in 2015, you know, I think anybody know offhand, I want to say they averaged around 33 or 34 per game, if I'm not mistaken. And you still had a defense that for 3 straight weeks, I mean, Kenny Allen was outscoring the opposition for like the first month of the season. So, and I remember doing the Kenny Allen counter. And if you guys remember, anybody's been following me prior to this season or for the past few years, you'll remember the Kenny Allen scoreboard every game. And so, I mean, I think it's easy in the, and when you have offense that you can rely on. And I think the Michigan's defense is going to be just as good. And I don't think that Penn State exposed it, like, you know, some people try to say. I think it did get tired a little bit. And that's not a knock on those guys. They are not robots. They're not superhuman. They played really well, incredibly well, I think, while waiting for some type of offense to happen. That offense didn't happen. But Devin Bush did say that this is a confidence booster, too. So, because, I mean, I think even today, Michigan's defense looked a little bit tired in some ways. And again, when you've been so good for so long and you have a bad game against Penn State and maybe you're not, you know, razor sharp against Rutgers, it is easy, you know, people are starting to wonder, oh, crap, what's going on? You know, are these guys falling off? I mean, I don't think that's the case. But you didn't ask that, Preston. My thoughts, struggles, Metellus and Hudson, I think just broad view. I think that fits probably everybody. Eric313 says, we ran the ball for 300 yards. How's that trash? Who said that's trash? It was a season high 334 yards to be exact. Again, Michigan, season high in rushes, 51 yards, 334 yards, and 4 rushing touchdowns. So don't forget, I mean, while Brandon Peters looked good, he did move the ball, 10 of 14 attempts. You got to give a lot of credit to this offensive line and to the running backs, Ty Isaac, Ron Higdon and Chris Evans. That back shoulder to Chris Evans is pretty nice. And that goes to a point where a lot of you guys even said, maybe you're not knocking Chris Evans. Yeah, you want to see more production out of him, out of the backfield. And maybe he doesn't always give you that. And a lot of you guys have made this point. That's a good point. Chris Evans, as a receiver, out of the backfield, as a slot, Chris, get him in space. And they do. And that's what happened. Get Chris Evans in some space, one-on-one coverage. See what he can do with back shoulder and bam, it's a touchdown. That's a good red zone play. Cordell Cummings says, although versus Rutgers, the O-line played great. I agree, Cordell. Look, it's still a football game. Still a conference game. I mean, yeah, it's Rutgers, but there are some things that Michigan did well. I mean, if you look at this game and you're not completely satisfied, and again, guys, I predicted 42-13. I thought, look, if there's any type of life in this offense, any, and I don't care if it is against Rutgers, they got to show it today. They did. I want to see a little bit more. I think I personally, I would have been happier with 42, just because that would have been my prediction almost damn near correct. So that reminds me, any of you guys who predicted and you could prove it, honor system, who was the closest? Or did someone nail it? Did someone predict 35-14? Because I want to give away a free sandwich from Mr. Spots. You'll get a half chicken or a half steak. You got to go pick it up, 808 State Street in Ann Arbor. So who had the closest one? Because you are the winner of the sandwich. FaZe Food says, I'm late. Has Adam admitted that he was wrong regarding the Peter situation? FaZe Food, I don't think I was wrong. That he won't play, he wasn't ready narrative. Faye, it took a broken neck and a quarterback and a month of John O'Korn's struggles before Brandon Peters got a true shot. So tell me how ready he was against Rutgers in a 0-0 game. Homecoming, a must win. Tell me how ready that he's been all along, Faye. I'll listen. Aaron Quinney says, laughing LMAO at FaZe Food. He didn't really. Eric 313, Tyree Kinnell has got to go. His one-on-one coverage skills are horrible. Tyree's struggled. Colin Bell says, the second Peter struggles, the play calls will take him out of the game and kill his confidence. It's really sad. I've seen it with Spate and O'Korn. Well, see, here's what I'm thinking, Colin. I mean, look, they rode O'Korn for a month struggling. And if they're going to switch quarterbacks, I don't think it's going to be, okay, back to John O'Korn. If Harbaugh makes the decision to go with Brandon Peters, then I think that that's a long-term decision, just like I thought with John O'Korn, unless he struggles mightily. So FaZe Food hasn't listened to everything I've said or everything that I've written. Selective hearing, FaZe Food. Calling you out. Saturday night, 10 o'clock. I'm in that sort of mood. Matt the Destroyer 2 says, I'm ready for another 10-3 season. Matt, didn't I tell you last week that the season wasn't over? I'm just saying. Jeremy K says, Kareem Walker also looked good. Nobody's talking about him. Kareem had some good carries. He's getting his steady dose. And again, guys, this was Rutgers. A lot of guys were going to get a lot of steady reps. I mean, Quiddy Pay played a lot. I mean, Quiddy's played past couple weeks. He played against Penn State. Michael Dwumfor as well. So, I mean, a lot of guys were going to get some reps. I mean, we saw Shane Lee in there. I think it's because Grant Perry is injured. But, Kareem looked good. This was a confidence game. It was Rutgers. Ooh, I just saw a big one pop up from Faye Food on this. It's got to be good. Aubrey Solomon. Yeah, Aubrey, Marcel Woods, this was his first start. Aubrey looked fine. Jeremy Case, Craig Ashcraft says, Peyton O'Korn has regressed with 3 years under coach. I think it's unfair to judge Wilton Spate. I mean, he's injured. Yeah, he didn't get out to a quick start, but I mean, I think that you can make a case. I think Wilton Spate would have gotten better, and he'd still be the starting quarterback if he didn't get injured, personally. FaZe Food says, O'Korn struggling as a fifth-year senior against Rutgers is pathetic. Glad the coaching staff pulled the trigger on Peters. Which, FaZe Food, I think that goes even further supports my point about the gaps that were there in talent. Jim Harbaugh even said that there was a gap, different levels. It's not Brandon Peters has been the best all along and they sat on him for no reason. And that he's just been prepared. I've gotten a few of those ha-ha, I told you so tweets, but they don't make sense, guys. Don't tweet me with that because you know that's not true. Adam, do you think Pep has been a positive influence to the quarterbacks? Colin Bell wants to know. I mean, I'm not there. You know, I don't see them personally there, but what they've said, yeah. I mean, but I don't think they're going to say, you know, Pep's screwed up my game, or I don't like, I mean, That's kind of a tough question, Colin. I don't know, man. I think so. Jeremy Case, is Devin Bush the best linebacker in the country? He's one of them. He's one of them, definitely. Eric313 says Nico Collins, DPJ, and Tariq Black will be a three-headed monster in the future. And guys, yeah, let's not forget too. I mean, if we see a healthy Walton Spate, healthy Tariq Black, how different is this offense? I mean, there's a deep ball presence, I think. Or even if Tariq remained healthy and it was with John and Tariq, or even if Tariq and even if Tariq's available now and Brandon Peters, just in general, how different would this passing game be with Tariq Black? I feel like Tariq Black is that deep ball target. Big body kid. Tariq's going to be really good at Michigan. Marcel Woods says best linebacker plays for Georgia. Any other questions, guys? I'm going to look up because I think Devin has like the eighth most sacks of any linebacker in the country. I'll look it up a different time. We're going on 37 minutes, guys. Matt Crittenden says, if you remember Austin Jackson for the Tigers, he was never the same after he took a 95-mile-per-hour fastball to the head. Some people never recover from injuries like that. I do remember that, Matt. That's an extreme comparison, but I remember that. Aaron Quinney says, I want a big win, not these weak wins. I'm not even hype about this like most of you seem. It had to be a real decisive blowout. It was like a mini blowout, Aaron. I see where you're going on that. Preston Prosper says, a week of starter reps in this next game will say a lot for Peters moving forward. Face Food, don't talk to me about a gap. Peters and O'Korn. I'm not even going to read that. Okay, Faye. You're there every day and talk to them. I'm not. I forgot. Don't be a know-it-all fan, Faye. Adam Walney says, Adam, any news on Kareem and on Wayne Hughes' injuries? None. I haven't heard anything. Matt Crittenden says, talking about Spate and his injury. Yeah, no, I know, but I mean, 95 fastball, mile-an-hour fastball, that's a... I'm not saying you're wrong or anything, it's just stretch. I'm just getting the visual there. I agree with what you're saying. Jeremy Case says, DPJ needs to step up. Colin Bell says, Adam, who's your pick? Versus Wisconsin, I think we match up well. Colin, I mentioned this earlier. Before started the podcast, I called my buddy Cody, called him back, and he and I had talked about that. How Wisconsin, you know, if they wanted to use Taylor and just run at him, Jonathan Taylor and just run at him, Michigan, I think run defense is built for that. And again, if you look at tonight, other than that 65-yard run from Janarian Grant, they held Rutgers at 29 rushing yards. Michigan's rush defense is not. The pass defense has bent a little bit this year. Rush defense hasn't bent at all, other than those big runs that I named. Madre London's 50-yarder for Michigan State. Morgan Ellison had a 31-yarder for Indiana. And who else? I'm missing. Saquon had that 59-yarder. So, and then Janarian. Matt Crittenden, I'll get it right. Why is everyone talking about Wisconsin? We still have Minnesota and Maryland. It's done. I know, Matt, people, it's a little bit of getting ahead, I know. These next three games, I said after the Penn State loss, these next three games are very winnable. Before going to Wisconsin with Rutgers, Minnesota, and Maryland. Chris Carter says, folks have to remember DPJ is a freshman playing big-time ball. He's fine, trust me. I don't have any problem with Donovan's play this year. Jeremy Turner says, Big Mike played good today. Happy to see Ty Wheatley get some playing time. He's our best blocking. Yeah, it wasn't Brandon's first pass. Complete pass was to Tyrone Wheatley. I was like, wow, that's Peters to Tyrone Wheatley. Did we just really see that? Jeremy Case, Ohio State or Michigan? What do you think? You're asking me who I think is going to win? Ohio State. Adam Olney says, personally, I think Tyreek Hill has been the worst defensive back of late. Aaron Quinney says, seems like the team got some mojo when Peters came in. If nothing else, it was worth it. Yeah, and Brandon's got a big ovation from the crowd, too. I mean, I think fans just have wanted to see him. And part of that, I mean, these kids get hyped during their recruitment. And this is the next star. This is the next star. And these guys writing the recruiting articles, you know, are are, really pumping them up as well. And, you know, as readers and fans, you guys see that and you're like, oh man, this guy's supposed to be. I think what's important too is to keep this in context. A lot of, you know, the questions, you know, do you think you could be the next Charles Woodson? Can you be the next great quarterback? And they're asking these kids that, and then all of a sudden it's Brandon Peters says he can be the next great quarterback at Michigan. You know, I'm not saying that with that specific example, but you guys get what I'm saying. You have to understand the way some of these questions are asked. I remember someone asking earlier this season, can Khalik Hudson, teammates are saying Khalik Hudson is potentially the best player in college football, and Khalik Hudson had barely, you know, Khalik Hudson played special teams last year, got his feet wet, and all of a sudden, a guy in the media is ready to try to crown him potentially the best player in college football. I wanted to laugh. I did, but I didn't, because I was being more polite. Just so you guys know where some of this stuff comes from. Because a lot of these people who cover Michigan are fans as well. So they are hyping to hype. FaZe Food says Peters outperformed O'Korn in one game, yet the media won't admit they were wrong. It was Rutgers, Faye, regarding the quarterback situation. I get it, it's Rutgers, but how bad John O'Korn was, it wasn't hard to be better than that. Okay, FaZe Food again, and this is the last time. Will and Spate needed to have his neck broken. John O'Korn needed to hang on by a thread for a month or a couple weeks after playing well at Purdue and still had to complete 3 of 6 passes for 13 yards and have 2 fumbles before they put Brandon Peters in. There's a gap. Chris Carter says, we need a big-time hire at offensive coordinator. Tim Drev is gone. Tim Drev signed an extension, Chris. We need Kevin Sumlin or someone that matches Don Brown hire. Drev, Noah, and Pep are gone. Pep's got a 4-year deal, buddy. I'm just saying. Adam Lonely says, people were saying Khalik Hudson was the next Jabril Pep. No, people were asking him if he could be the next Jabril Peppers. They weren't, and that's, I was there when all these questions were asked. And I don't want to call out the guy's name, but, you know, some of this, can you pretend, this, I remember this person asked Don Brown, and it's for a recruiting service, numerical recruiting service, so you guys do it. Teammates are saying that Khalik Hudson could potentially be the best player in college football. And Don Brown was like, whoa, 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 whoa. So, Khalik Hudson, the next Jabril Peppers. Khalik was asked if he could be. And I asked Josh Metellus, because at the time, Josh Metellus was in line to be the starting Viper. Not if he could be the next Jabril, but that position coming with responsibilities and the guy who already played it. I'm not for all that, this guy's the next Jabril, this guy's the next that. You guys know that. So, take it in context. You know, Khalik Hudson didn't come out and say, I can be the next Jabril Peppers. People want to throw that label on people so bad. Any other questions, guys? FaZe Food, I guess I don't really know what else to say, except for I think maybe you're just having an issue getting it. I don't know. Sorry, my phone screwed up there. Colin Bell says, Adam, our O-line's putting more focus on Gary because Winovich and Hurst are playing like studs with the exception of the Penn State. More. Let me read that again. That's going to be the last one, guys. I'm getting kind of tired. Colin Bell says, Adam, our O-line's putting more focus on Gary because Winovich and Hurst are playing like studs. Rashawn's always going to get attention. Always. So I don't think there's more focus. I think it's they know that they have to do that. And again, this goes back to, do they double team Rashawn? Okay, and you're leaving Chase or Mo or Brian Monet or somebody else, creating an opportunity for them. Well, I guess that's, you know, kind of the risk to reward involved. You don't double team Rashawn Gary or make him the focal point. You're going to pay 9 out of 10 times, so. All right, guys, I think that's probably it for tonight. We can do another one Sunday. Monday, press conference. Tuesday is my last official day on the payroll at FanRag Sports, so I mentioned this earlier this week. I want to Unfortunately, my job was eliminated after October 31st, so I'm not sure, I'm not really sure what's next. Something's next. I can tell you that, and we'll kind of see how it plays out. But I want to thank everybody for reading my stuff on FanRag Sports. We'll still do the podcast. A lot of you guys have asked, will I still do the podcast? Yeah, as long as you want to hear me talk and answer questions about Michigan football, I have a feeling they'll still allow me to sneak in there until I find my next destination. So I guess I'll be a media member, just not paid at the moment, which I don't know. Never do anything for free if you're good at it, but at the same time, it's what I love to do. So probably hold tight a little bit, because it sure as hell beats a regular job, I'll tell you that. I'm used to not having a regular job. I used to work in factories, and was a manager at Lids in Lansing Mall for an assistant manager for a little while. So, anyway, there will be something after FanRag, but I encourage you guys keep reading my stuff. Something on the defense tomorrow. I have a column posted tonight on Brandon Peters, and follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81, podcast at MittenSportsMI. On Facebook, Sports in the Mitten. Please like, subscribe, share, do all that fun stuff. So Chris Carter says, thanks, Adam. Keep it going. Remember us when you blow up. Hey, I appreciate it, Chris. Matt Crindon says, keep up the good work. I appreciate it. FaZe Food says, start your own blog. We'll follow. FaZe Food, are you sure? You and I have gone at it. I think what's going to happen is that's probably going to be the way. And I don't want to talk about it too much right now and jinx it, but just take this as a hint. Something's going to happen. Eric313 says, keep the podcast. Jeremy Turner says, keep it coming at him. Love the podcast. Don't listen to the haters. I don't know if I have any haters, but I know what you're saying, Jeremy. Yeah, it sucks. I don't like it. I don't like when anybody loses their job, especially me. It was not performance-based. It wasn't anything I'd done. It's just the company's going in a different direction, and that direction does not include me, and that's fine. So you live, you learn. That's kind of the way of this business, you know. I mean, it's every now and then, stuff like this happens. So all kinds of, like Scout and 247, I believe, are merging. There's all kinds of stuff, behind the scenes, and companies getting sold and all that kind of thing. And it's just the nature of the business. If you work hard and you keep at it, and this goes for anything, and you're passionate about it, I believe that you will continue doing that. So I don't give up very easily. I'm very persistent. I'm relentless. Jim Harbaugh said that I'm relentless, according to Michigan's SIDs. So Adam Lang says, keep up the good work, man. Wish you luck in the future. I appreciate it, Adam. Rock City says, enjoy the content. Adam, good luck. Rhonda says, I will help you on your blog. Rhonda, you're here. You'll help me on my blog, huh? All right. Direct message me with some details. Rhonda, I'll give you your time in the sun. Did you come to gloat about Brandon Peters? I know you did. Guys, everybody, if you follow me on Twitter, you see Rhonda. Rhonda, I'll give you a couple of minutes here if you want to take your victory lap. I'm not admitting defeat because I know that I was right. But as a fan, Rhonda, I think that you at least... Hey, you need something to cheer about, don't you? You need something, especially with the quarterback position to cheer about. FaZe Food, go ahead. You guys take your victory laps. You have 2 minutes. Keep the comments clean. Let me have it. I'm not even going to say anything. Hands behind my back. I'm just going to read the comments. You guys go. And nothing. All right. I'm going to, Ron says you're okay. I'm going to go downstairs, watch some World Series baseball. Probably that's about it, guys. So thanks again for watching the podcast. I'll probably pop up tomorrow. Again, the updates Monday from Jim Harbaugh's press conference. I'll have something on Michigan's defense tomorrow and Tuesday night availability. That'll be my last assignment for FanRag Sports. So I'll be down there. I'll have some videos and things like that. And again, stay tuned, guys, because something's around the corner. I could feel it. Have a good one. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night. Thanks for watching.